3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. Thanks for being here. Tough start to the four-game series against the Boston Red Sox as the Mariners fall last night. A similar theme to the night before against the Padres. We'll wrap up that game coming up. Also, some great baseball stories coming up. Mike Blowers tells a couple of funny ones. Well, not so funny at the time for Mike Blowers, but he can laugh about it now. So that comes up later in the podcast. I've been meaning to get to it for a few days, so I'm glad finally getting to it here. Also, Rick Riz is going to talk to Ray Fosse about catching. Ray Fosse, always entertaining, former all-star catcher. That comes up. And Shannon Dreher, we'll talk with James Paxton, who's really pitched well his last few times out. And she's going to talk about what adjustments he has made, what he's looking to do. That's a very interesting conversation. So that is up ahead as well. But let's get to the game last night, the first game of a four-game series against Boston. And really, a big part of the game was before it even started. Brad Miller in left field for the very first time, grabbing his first start in left field. Here's what he had to say the night before about getting ready to play the outfield and where he's at in his preparation.
Definitely different. Definitely different, but I think the main thing is, you know, you got to show up to work every day and bust your tail. And, you know, so that's kind of just kind of been keeping my head down and trying to, you know, get my work in and help us.
A week ago, you told us you had no familiarity with the work that you were doing out in the field. How do you feel a week later?
We've been getting some good work and taking advantage of our time, but, you know, still haven't been out there, so I really don't know too much. I'm not saying that, you know, taking fly balls in the outfield is just like the game. We've been definitely taking advantage of our time.
So you're making some throws today.
Yeah.
That look like you're getting the comfort level there, perhaps.
Yeah, it's different. You know, it's far out there, and you got to, you know, really use your whole body. So just, you know, trying to clean up some things and get it as good as possible.
Is that throw the biggest difference? Obviously, taking fly balls is different. But
I really don't know yet. I mean, I have no clue just because, you know, I have zero experience. But it definitely is farther out there. That's the only thing I do know.
I mean, it's a different throw, right? I mean, you get a different
first
throw
one.
Action and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yep. So, yeah, just trying to stick with Andy and, you know, just kind of whatever's on my plate, take advantage and get it done.
Yeah, he's been putting the early work in with Andy Van Slyke in the outfield getting ready. And he drew the start last night, and it didn't take long for him to see his first action out there.
3-2. Swing and a line drive into left field. Coming up is Miller, and Brad will make the catch. How about that? First batter of the ball game lines out to Brad Miller, making his debut in left field in the big leagues. Hit right at him, handles it very easily, and Betts lines out to Miller.
Rick, just like Zoltar, your wish has been granted.
There it is. Rick had talked about hoping Miller would get a ball early, and he certainly did right there as the fly out to left field. So Mariners were off and running. In fact, Aranis Elias pitched really well in this one again. It was an interesting one. He gave up 8 hits along the way, but he just kept the Red Sox off the board time and time again. He goes 6 1/3, gives up those 8 hits. Just one earned run, though, walked 2, and fanned a couple along the way. And really the only damage, the only way the Red Sox got to him was Shane Victorino going deep.
Here's a swing and a drive, deep to left field. Miller going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Into the Boston bullpen, Shane Victorino with his first home run of the season puts the Red Sox on in front 1-0 here in the top of the fourth.
Yeah, and Victorino was a big problem in this one, including this defensive play.
There goes the man at first base. The pitch, swinging a high fly, drifting towards right field. Victorino racing back. He leans at the hips, and he makes the catch. Taylor has to sprint back to first base, and he is doubled up at first. A miraculous double play to end the seventh.
Yeah, that was a great play by Victorino. Makes the catch. Taylor had a chance to score. He was You know, at second base, tried to scramble back, couldn't get back there in time. The double play turned. Defense, a big key in this one. Mariners, it was this same theme as the game before. They left, I mean, RISP, lots of runners in scoring position. The Mariners couldn't come through. 0 for 6 last night, but part of it, too, was the Boston Red Sox defense. Dustin Pedroia turned in a pretty sweet double play as well.
The pitch on the way, swinging a ground ball to Bogarts at short, over to second for one. Pedroia's relay to first, and it's in time to double up Seager, and that will retire the side. Wasn't hit that hard, but Pedroia in the middle of the pivot. Heck of a throw to first base to get Seager. They got Cruz at second.
Yeah, so the Mariners with opportunities in this one. 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. The Red Sox defense doesn't help. The game is 1-1 going into the ninth inning as the Mariners finally pushed a run across in the sixth to tie this one up.
The wind and the pitch. Morrison swings, hits a tapper right side. Pedroia coming in, making the glove stop, throw to first base. Lomo is out. Meanwhile, Cruz scores from third. And with that, this ball game is all tied up at one apiece here in the sixth inning. The Mariners get their first run against Joe Kelly.
Yeah, Joe Kelly, he ends up going six in the ball game, 6 1/3. 5 hits, just 1 run, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Mariners at times really flashed the leather as well, especially Mike Zunino. He threw out Ramirez a couple of times.
There goes the runner, swing and a miss, thrown on to second by Zunino, and out at second base, Ramirez. Holy smokes, what a throw down to second to Cano by Mike Zunino, right on the money. Ramirez caught stealing, one out for the Red Sox here in the top of the eighth inning, a perfect peg down to second.
That was a great throw. Bullpen comes on. Low Furbush finish off the seventh inning. Smith comes out, and it's just, again, dominant. Strikes out 2 in the eighth inning. Rodney comes on for the ninth in a tied ball game, but coughs up a run. The Red Sox plate a run in the ninth, and then Mariners go quietly in the bottom of the ninth. And the Red Sox take game one of the four-game series 2-1. So the Mariners are trying to even things up tonight. And again, runners in scoring position has been the issue the last two ball games. Left all kinds in the last game against San Diego, second game of the series, and last game of the series. And then the trend repeats last night. Here is Lloyd McClendon talking about that and other items coming out of the game last night.
It's unfortunate. We've wasted two real good pitching performances the last couple of nights. But it was tough.
The hitting with runners in scoring position, it kind of comes in spurts, but what things can your guys do to be better?
Get hits.
I mean, approach-wise, though, are you seeing okay?
Yeah, listen, it happens to every team, and it's a nasty funk to be in. There's a positive and a negative to it. The fact is you're getting guys out there. The negative part is you're not getting them in, you know. It's a little... You know, it can be frustrating, but not the only team in baseball that's doing it. You know, I believe the St. Louis Cardinals were 5 for the last 56, you know, with 30 strikeouts. So it happens to every team, but when it happens to you, you take it personal. So
it's kind of a common theme. We're kind of down at the bottom of the order. Some guys are struggling. That's where a lot of opportunities are right now.
Yeah, you know, we said coming out of spring training, we have to have production throughout our lineup. It's not going to always be 3, 4, 5 every night. And, you know, guys have been doing okay down there. We just didn't get a big hit tonight. We'll keep grinding out, keep working.
On the catch by Pedroia, did Taylor play that right? Or what can he do in that? Did he read it over his head? I mean, it was an amazing
catch.
No,
he read it. He was still, and he stopped and was reading the play. And he made a fantastic throw back, you know. You know, in retrospect, you wish he'd have been a little closer, but... You know, if he doesn't catch it, he's got a chance to score. So it's just a great play.
Hey, Lord, when you move infielder to the outfield, I mean, you knew coming into the season that you might have some instances where it just didn't, where you pay a price defensively.
Sure.
And you just have to
Live
with it.
Go there and ask them. Yeah, you live with it. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, every team in baseball has warts, so to speak, and nobody has a perfect team. And I'm not going to sit here and say the play in the ninth inning cost us a game, because it didn't. It was a double. You made an errant throw. It was still a double. you know, they got him over, and it was a sacrifice fly, you know. It's the way it goes. And if it scored right, it should be a sacrifice fly with an error. Yeah, so those things happen. You know, it's baseball. The best of them make errors, trust me.
Elias gave up 8 hits, walked 2, but he just seemed to find ways out of every inning.
He pitched a great game. You know, that's his 4th game in a row where he pitched and he deserved the win. And he didn't get the win. So, but he was outstanding once again.
There it is. That's the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, wrapping up the game last night. So the M's turn to tonight, 7:10, a first pitch from Safeco Field. Look to get even in this series. Clay Buchholz, who's been up and down for the Red Sox, will take the ball 2-4 with a 5.73 ERA so far for Boston. And it's kind of, this year has been similar really to his career. That's kind of been a roller coaster ride a little bit. Last time out against the Blue Jays, goes 6 1/3, gives up 3 earned. Time before that against Tampa, 6 1/3, 5 earned. His splits this year are pretty interesting to look at. Not exactly what you may expect. Right-handed pitcher, but the splits are pretty reverse. Lefties this year batting .256 against him with a couple of home runs and 4 doubles. Righties, meanwhile, are batting .364 against him with a home run and 6 doubles. And 66 at-bats this year compared to 90 at-bats against lefties. So that will be something to watch from some of the righties in the lineup, including Nelson Cruz. Meanwhile, speaking of splits, we talked about it last night. The Red Sox, as a team, the very worst batting average against lefties in baseball coming into the series last night, batting .188. And the Mariners, a chance to throw another lefty at the Red Sox tonight as Jay Happ will take the mound for the M's. Happ 3-1, a 3.29 ERA. He has been rock solid for the M's, coming off a nice start his last time out against the A's. Goes 5 innings, gives up just 1 run, and the Mariners get that win 7-2. In fact, the Mariners have been consistently winning whenever Jay Happ takes the mound. They've only lost twice during Jay Happ starts. They've won 4 times in his starts, so they like to continue that trend and even this series against the Red Sox tonight at Safeco Field. And then, of course, Saturday, turn back the clock night, Felix Hernandez on the hill. He'll be wearing the Seattle Steelheads jersey. If you missed the podcast yesterday, I recommend it highly because you'll get a little background on the Steelheads, which is a pretty cool story. So that's in the podcast yesterday. Right now, we're going to give it over to Shannon Dreyer with James Paxton, who has pitched pretty well as of late. What's been working? Here's Shannon Dreyer with the lefty.
Shannon Dreyer here in the dugout catching up with James Paxton. And James, that was one of the more interesting performances last night and just really a study and kind of getting through something, it seemed like.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting one. You know, like I said last night, that's not how you draw it up, walking 5 guys. But I just had to battle through it and try to take it one pitch at a time.
1-2-3 first inning. What happened after that?
You know, I just kind of lost the handle on the baseball. My arm was feeling so good that it was hard to contain. And, you know, I just needed to try to calm down and throw strikes.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Last night you said it was very live. The arm felt good. Can you put that into words a little bit more?
Yeah, my arm was just really loose, and the ball was just jumping out of my hand and just explosive. And trying to contain that was a battle for me.
Different fastballs do different things in that situation. Does yours rise? Does it sink a little bit more? Does it veer to the left, to the right?
A little bit of everything, which makes it even harder.
I think the good news was it stayed away from the middle.
It did. It stayed away from the middle, and it stayed away from the barrel for the most part. So.
And you kept throwing fastballs.
I did. You know, it was working, and I just was trying to get in there for a strike and make him hit the ball.
And, you know, that was big. You've got a big stretch that's coming up ahead of you, and there's been a focus. The starters need to give innings. You were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the goal is to do it a little bit cleaner than that. I don't want to have these guys having heart attacks on the bench over here. But, yeah, I think that it was a good game for me as far as battling and just taking it one pitch at a time, and the guys played great defense behind me, and the sticks were there, so that was great.
Yeah, sticks you've got to appreciate. You see those numbers come up, that can make it a little bit tough sometimes when you have a big lead.
You know, For me, it doesn't really matter. I'm just focused on what I'm doing out there. It doesn't matter what the score is. But it's nice to have these guys swing it the way they are. It's fun to watch, for sure.
You said you didn't want to give guys a heart attack. I wonder if one of the biggest might have been Zunino. What was he telling you at the time? You just made a face there. That's funny.
You know, he was just coming out and saying, you know, just stay towards me and, yeah, just stay on line and just chuck it to me. Hit the glove.
And that's been a focus. When you get off a little bit, you're not online.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, Zunino's been great back there. He's reminding me of things and just working with me and hanging with me and not getting too upset and everything when I'm not executing. So, you know, he's been awesome.
I've got to ask you this because he has just been so incredibly even, you know, what we see of him. Have you ever seen him mad?
Not very often. I can't say that I have. More, if anything, he does it jokingly,
yeah.
You know, but I haven't actually seen him real upset other than when he gets out or something and then he has a little, you know, he gets mad at himself, but that's not very often.
Yeah, he's fun to watch back there, that's for sure. You talked a lot about your changeup this spring. Where would you say that is right now?
Apart from yesterday, it's been pretty good. Early, it was working really well for me, and you know, it's more effective than last year, so I'm just trying to take steps forward with it and continue to make it better.
Is it more effective because you're locating it more, or is it doing something different right now?
It's getting a little bit more movement. I'm keeping better arm speed with it right now, and you know, I'm also just getting more confident with it, and I think it's just one of those pitches that you have to continue just to throw and throw and throw, and it gets better and better.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
And now with a couple of great baseball stories, it's Eric Goldsmith and Mike Blowers.
It's been tough defensively for the A's so far this season. They have more errors than games played at this point, and they committed four errors last night. And, you know, Mike, all in good fun. You can't see four errors at times without thinking about a game that you played in, Mike, back in 1990 against the Indians as a member of the Yankees. Where you, unfortunately, Mike, and this is very out of character, I think we'd all agree, you committed four errors all by yourself, Mike.
I'm glad you're laughing about that, Eric.
So, a simple...
It was my rookie year.
Sure, right.
It was my rookie year. I'd been in the big leagues for about a month, and we had a Sunday day game at Yankee Stadium, and it was one of those things as a player, Aaron, where I made an error, which it happens, and then I made another error, which... as you mentioned, was a little unusual.
Right.
And it's funny how much confidence plays into effect of what's going on because I was getting booed like you'd never been booed. The Yankee Stadium was packed, by the way. I lost complete confidence, and you could have literally taken a beach ball, thrown it to me underhand, and I would have dropped it. So, unfortunately, I made four errors that day. We ended up losing the game. I believe I tied a major league record with 30-some-odd guys at the time. 32.
Yeah, there's at the time there was less than that. I think you were the 21st to ever commit four.
I think you need to check that again.
I've got the New York Times article right here.
Oh, they're wrong.
It says in committing four errors at third base, Blowers did nothing unique. He wasn't the first to do it. He was, in fact, the 21st in the American League, and the third Yankee third baseman to have done that.
Yeah,
there was. Let's see.
I didn't know that. I was a third, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
First of all, I love the headline of this article.
Yeah.
Four errors by Blowers yield seven runs for Indians. And then I love the opening sentence. Mike Blowers, a 25-year-old rookie, staged an unforgettable performance at Yankee Stadium yesterday. He only hopes he can forget it before too long. Mike Blowers.
Not an easy thing.
I bet.
You know, I was really fortunate, and this is where teammates are you're lucky. Because, well, I was fortunate on a couple levels. One, after the game, we jumped on a plane and went to the West Coast, so I didn't have to go back out on the field at Yankee Stadium. But my confidence was obviously shot as a young player. I honestly thought that my career was over at that point. I'm glad you're enjoying this so much, Aaron. It's terrific. But I was lucky because the next day I came to the ballpark, and shockingly, I was in the lineup again, and I remember Don Mattingly coming up to me right before we were getting ready to take the field. And he said to me, he said, you know, you can make this as big a deal as you want, but I want you to be as aggressive as you can be on the first ground ball you get, and you just airmail it to me, and I'll make the play for you. Just get rid of it and get it to me. I'll make the play. So I believe it was Lance Parrish, who was catching for the Angels at the time, hit a one-hop rocket at me. I ended up catching it, and I fired a seed across the diamond. I'm not sure he ever got out of the batter's box.
Really?
When normally you would take your time, you know, not me. But it was over with right after that play. I was finally, I took a deep breath, and it was okay after that. But, you know, it's one of the things that I talk to kids all the time. I speak to my own boys about it. In this game, you're going to have days where you're just going to get it handed to you for whatever the reasons are. And it takes a lot, I think, especially at this level, for guys to get past it and move forward. It'll test you at times, and that was a big test for me as such a young player at the time.
I do love the fact you did have a double in that game,
mm-hmm.
and you doubled off the starting pitcher for the Indians, John Farrell.
Oh, really?
Now the manager for the Boston Red Sox. We'll be seeing Farrell and the Sox coming up later in the homestand.
Make sure you mention that to him.
I will. He ended Paul Molitor's hit streak of, 37 games, 39?
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he was the guy that, and it was like his second career start. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool to see John Farrell's
name there. So I guess the point of all of this, Aaron, since you brought it up, is it's Mother's Day. There's going to be a huge crowd here. A lot of people coming to the ballpark with their kids. Keep your chin up. It's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's wise words. And so along those lines, I like to think of this Sundays with a Blow as the teardown build-up edition. Okay, so we
really enjoyed the teardown. So.
It's been fantastic so far. It's been great. So now it's time for the build-up. After talking about you
can't wait.
Four errors. Yeah, that's great. It's great. So with the A's in town, it got us thinking a little bit about your time with the A's, and we were talking yesterday on the pregame show about how you actually hit for this cycle as a member of the Oakland Athletics. Mm-hmm. And the third base coach, infield coach with the A's at the time, one of our absolute favorites, Ron Washington, the longtime manager for the Texas Rangers. And last year, we talked with Wash, and we asked him, among other things, what it was like coaching a young Mike Blowers as a member of the Oakland A's.
Well, he was a pro. He was always willing to give his experience to anybody that was willing to listen. He worked diligently at his game. He took pride in his game. And, you know, I can even go as far to say that he helped make the people around him better.
Blow has so many fun stories over the course of his career. One of them that he's told a number of times is when he hit for the cycle as a member of the Oakland A's. It was in a blowout win, he said, and his last hit was the triple, the toughest one to get. He slid into third base where you were coaching that day. Of course, a long time as the A's third base coach. He popped up with a slide. He pumped his fist. And you looked at him and essentially said, what are you so happy about? Nobody realized that he'd hit for the cycle, and including you, surprisingly, Wash.
Definitely. I certainly didn't remember it either. But, you know, that's the way he was. He quietly did his job.
Mike, how did nobody know that you hit for the cycle?
Well, I think more than anything, I think the final score that day was 14-0 or 14-1 or something like that. And it was one of those games. I had a great day that day, obviously, but I knew that I had a chance to hit for the cycle. And when I hit the ball down in the right field corner, I think it was off of James Baldwin, and I was rounding first. I decided at that moment, because the game was basically
out of hand
and it was late, I was going to get it. I was going to go for the triple to hit for the cycle, and I was really surprised that nobody else knew that I just hit for the cycle, including Wash, who was the third base coach. But it was a fun day, and you know, it was one of those things that's rare. I think I only had, you know, it's amazing hitting for the cycle is, I think I only had 6 or 7 triples in my career.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I didn't have many. And to actually hit it on a day where I had an opportunity.
8 triples.
8?
Huh. So you're not exactly a triples machine.
More speed than I even realized. but it was a lot of fun. I actually, with the Mariners, I had a chance to hit for the cycle.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You came. What were you missing?
The single.
You missed the single?
I had the home run, the triple, and 2 doubles.
Oh, now you should have just put on the brakes.
It entered my mind. But then I felt that my dad would have been really disappointed.
Yeah.
So I cruised on in the second. It was an easy double, and so I cruised in the second. But I almost did it with the Mariners, which would have been really cool, obviously, since I'm from here. And
yeah.
I had my family there, and it was neat.
Well, before we let you go, Mike, how's the self-esteem? Do we, on the teardown build-up edition of Sundays with Blower, are we leaving you all right?
You know what, Aaron? Here's the thing about it. I'm actually fine. I'm perfectly fine with it. And it did tie a major league record. I believe it still stands.
There was a guy that in the 1900s, mm-hmm. Dave – I don't like saying his name, Dave Brain. of the Boston Bean Eaters committed five errors. So
really?
I would say in modern, you've tied a modern day record. Congratulations.
So I think any record at the major league level is an okay thing, Aaron. it's all right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's always fun, Mike.
Yeah. I also hit back to back grand slams at that time. That tied a record.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, I know you
just
don't.
Just the four errors. We just want to get to the four errors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it happens, and you know what? It's one of those things where, especially in doing what I do now, when these guys, and they all are going to have tough days, I reflect back on that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and just knowing that this is a tough game. It's a hard game.
And let's hand things over to Rick Riz now, standing by with Ray Fosse, former All-Star catcher, talks about catching, what it takes to be a good catcher, and he does in his very entertaining way.
Chance to visit with our longtime buddy and outstanding catcher for many, many years of the big leagues, longtime broadcaster for the Oakland A's, Ray Fosse. Ray, you were an outstanding catcher with the Cleveland Indians. You were with the championship Oakland A's in the 1970s. Even a Seattle Mariner in 1977 playing at the Kingdom. Let's talk about catching. A youngster comes up to you in high school or a little league kid, says, I want to be a catcher. What makes a good catcher, Ray?
I'll say, first of all, intelligence. When they say the tools of ignorance, forget it. If you're not a smart catcher, and by the way, there are 15 former catchers managing Major League Baseball, as you well know. But I think that the biggest thing is to, first of all, you have to have intelligence. And I would do clinics when I was working for the A's many years ago, and I would do a clinic with all the kids, and I say, I talk about catching, and I said, of course, they are the most intelligent. I said, okay, let's break up infielders out. Everybody become a catcher. They figured, if I'm smart, I must be a catcher. So, but the tools of ignorance, sure, you have to put it on and be able to have a pain threshold very high to be able to stand. I mean, I hurt as I sit here after catching, you know, the way I did and when I did. But I think the most important thing is catching the ball properly. Dan Wilson, who works with you, and you hear me talk about him all the time, Dan Wilson caught the ball correctly. And I say that because there's so many catchers now that they have the palm of the catcher's mitt pointing down. So when they catch the ball, it's going down and basically taking the ball out of the strike zone. So watching Dan, the old thing about, and get in a catching position, and you would have the catcher's mitt straight on for fastball or whatever there, and then you just turn it. Clockwise, counterclockwise, and everything was keeping the ball in the strike zone. But the most important thing is that when the palm of the catcher's mitt was down below the knees, it was the palm up, not down. You had a catcher named Jojima many years ago, and they used to joke, say, well, he's a Jojima, because Jamie Moyer, and I remember talking to Jamie after he pitched a game, he was throwing nothing but strikes, but Jojima was taking every pitch out of the strike zone. And he looked at the video and he said, my goodness, you're right. And I said, yes. So catching the ball to me, Rick, is the most important thing. The number two would be have strong legs, because you're going to be squatting behind the plate. And now, since it's an offensive position, you want to have strong legs, because after you warm up pitchers in the bullpen or catch batting practice, you want those legs to be strong enough so when you get in the batter's box to hit, they're not like jelly, which I did my first spring training. I realized then, because I'd catch and all of a sudden I couldn't stand at the plate. I said, my legs will be strong from the rest of the time. Not necessarily in this order, but the other one would be throwing. And I always think that throwing to the bases is very important. But in order to do that, you throw long. You go out and play catch with an outfielder. You build up the arm strength. So as you throw to third, second, or first, you're throwing a shorter distance than an outfielder, and work on the accuracy. There's so many things that you can do to make yourself a better catcher. But I think those things are the most important.
You know, when you take a look at a catcher has to be so many things. You talked about being strong and take those foul tips and having a strong arm and throwing runners out. But they also seems like they have to have the feet of a Baryshnikov to be so quick back right there to get your body in the right position to utilize that strong arm.
That's a great point, because to me, Terry Steinbach was the best I ever saw. He was a third baseman and became a catcher in 1986. Matter of fact, he had a home run his first at bat. But what he did catching, we were in Cleveland, and I saw Terry Steinbach take the first pitch and throw out a base runner. First thing I looked at, feet. And I said, wow. But he was a third baseman. That lateral movement helped him when he got behind the plate, because in catching, transferring the weight, being able to make that turn so that you're throwing right over the top. And really, a pitcher is the only one to throw the ball with movement. A catcher, infielder, outfielder, four seams, make sure the ball is straight. So a catcher has to throw a certain way right over the top to throw it second or whatever base might be. But you know, the movement and blocking balls, Mike Zunino does a tremendous job for the Mariners. He does a great job, and I always watch him, and he does it the right way. And that misnomer about blocking the ball, you never catch it, you block it. When you can use your body to block it, then you're doing the job, and especially with runners on base and a runner at third base.
Ray got about 15 seconds left here, but no, it's great. It's quality stuff. We love you, buddy. You're one of our favorites of all time. What was it like being a Seattle Mariner in 1977, catching back then?
Well, the one thing I remember is no rainouts. And I came the last couple of weeks, and Lou Gorman was trying to sign me before I became a free agent. And I'll say it very quickly. When I woke up in September, it is pouring down rain. I said, oh, no. Oh, yeah, we're playing. But it's great that you have beautiful Safeco Field. Catching then, it's totally different than now. But it's a change game, as we all know. But I wouldn't change the time that I caught. I wouldn't change 45 years ago getting run over at home plate in the All-Star game because I got a chance to be an All-Star. But times have changed, and I don't think necessarily to the good.
You're one of our all-time favorites.
No, you are.
Ray,
you are.
Thank you so much. We appreciate being a guest here on Rick's Tips here on this Mother's Day.
Well, listen, I would love to talk another 30 minutes, especially about catching, but I know you're limiting your time. Always good to see you, buddy.
Here's the 2-0 on the way now. Swung on, ground ball hit to third. Blowers backhands, goes to his knees, straightens up, throws to first and gets him. A fine play by Mike Blowers.
See you later!